Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Iron Bark Podcast. I am your host, Epion. I think we're at episode 45. That's literally five episodes away from 50, which feels like a lot. It feels like a friggin' heck of a ton. I wonder if we'll ever make it to episode 100. Only the future will tell. Today's episode, it's a good episode, I think. We're going to talk about, first and foremost, happy Earth Day, everyone. Yo, it's Earth Day. Like, I hope you guys got out there, cleaned up a little garbage, picked up a little garbage. People in my area are very good. They're awesome people. I see them all the time down the sides of highways and all that stuff, picking up garbage and trash. They love their area. They just volunteer to do it. They don't care. They just want to see cleaner roads and stuff like that. So bless those people. I'm going to talk about Microbe X32, which is something that's kind of coming out of Colossal Biosciences, a really awesome company. I love them to death. They, I guess they got like a subsidiary company, a little baby company that they formed that came out of them. And they're making a microplastic that eats plastic, basically. If I'm going to put it in as many layman terms as possible, is that it eats plastic. The other thing I'm going to talk about, we're going to talk about dogs attacking mountain tapirs in Colombia, which is a thing. It's happening. A fossil of the largest snake to ever exist. Big news. We talked about snakes before. We talked about the anaconda that was discovered not too long ago. That was like the largest living snake. It's like a subspecies of anaconda somewhere remote in the Amazon. And I'm going to finish off with my adventures from this past weekend. And I'll just kind of end the podcast on that one. All right, let's jump into it. What do we got here? Let's talk about Colossal Biosciences and their new subsidiary company, I think it is, or maybe it's just like a partner company. Anyway, it's called Breaking, and they're digesting, decomposing, recycling, reformulating, reviving, rebuilding, and breaking down plastic. So they got a, this is pretty cool. So they're empowering biology. I'm just kind of reading off their website here. They're empowering biology to eliminate plastic waste. You know, this is a big deal. I don't know if everyone knows how big of a deal this is. Microplastics, they're basically toxic to like humans, animals, other living creatures. You know, they're all these phthalates. They're messing us up. There's tons of books out there. There's tons of reading material. You know, the Canadian government, I think not too long ago, designated it as like toxic to like the human like biome. I think they've since reversed that, but I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, plastic waste and microplastics. Overall, 2/3 of all plastics ever produced have been released into the environment and remain there in some form. It's not good. It's not good, people. It's not good. It goes over some stats here. I'm not going to bore you with that. It's more interesting and dynamic to look at as opposed to me just spouting off numbers that probably won't make sense to you unless you see a graph. Plastic is a macro problem. Breaking it is the micro solution. Whoever came up with that, they need a raise. Just saying, Colossal or Breaking. So here's another blurb from their website. We've discovered that microorganisms that naturally feed off the chemicals and compounds in plastic waste by digesting and breaking them down into harmless organic matter. Pretty neat. And now we're enhancing these microorganisms and enzymes associated with the degradation. Distributing these enhanced microorganisms and enzymes to address the decades-long accumulation of waste in our landfills and oceans. So that's cool. They're going to deploy like this, what is it, introducing the hero of our story, our groundbreaking discovery. We got Microbe X32. Pretty awesome. Colossal and Breaking have identified that Microbe X32. It reminds me of like X23, you know, from X-Men. It's like the female Wolverine. It's like his daughter. Has the potential to transform the landscape of plastic pollution by accelerating the breakdown process of various types of plastics that are traditionally challenging to degrade. Plastic compromise of a myriad of polymers have long posed a significant environmental challenge due to their persistence in the environment. Yep, they last a really long time and they get really, really tiny and really, really small, and it's a bad thing. So this is the best pun on the website so far, and it's the greatest. It is the absolute greatest. So Colossal, it's kind of renowned or known for like wanting to bring back the woolly mammoth and stuff from the Pleistocene era. Okay, this is like God tier dad joke. God tier dad joke. Putting an end to the plastic scene era. Plasticine. I love it. That's an underestimated joke, and someone deserves a pat on the back for that one. Give this man a raise, or woman a raise. We're revolutionizing. So, like, when I think about this stuff, I'm just going to spitball from the top of my head here. When I think about this type of stuff, I think it's good. I think there's potential. Like, obviously, it sounds like they kind of want to pull stuff out of, like, these, like, plastic heaps in the ocean or whatever, or maybe introduce the microbe there. What if this revolutionized recycling plants? Like, right now, like, we recycle plastic. I don't think a lot of it gets recycled. I think a very small percentage of what we send there is actually recyclable. Well, what if we just started turning them into, like, these things that just broke it down? Like, these, like, vats full of, like, microbes that just break it down. And I don't know, maybe the byproduct could be used as, like, a fuel or something at the end. Who knows, right? What else can I say about it? I want you guys to Google something. And this is not for the faint of heart if you don't like seeing dead animals and that sort of thing, which we don't normally do. But if you want to look at it from, like, a science point of view and put on your science hat instead of your, like, you know, your friendly hat, is you Google dead bird with plastic in stomach. And the images you'll see is a pretty good idea of why we kind of got to, like, tape down on these, like, plastics. It's an issue. And if we can get rid of them in the oceans and stuff and stop these birds from eating them, and it's doing that to a bunch of animals. Birds is just the easiest example to really see it. And those pictures really hit home, I think, as an example of why we need to put an end to that. So that's pretty much all I got to say about that. Cool little new company. They sort of just announced that for Earth Day. So round of applause to Colossal. Love you guys. They've said they're a fan of the podcast. They said they're a fan of the podcast. I'm not bragging here, not name dropping or anything, you know, not being, you know, it's just kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I'm going to talk about the fossil of the largest snake to have ever existed found in Western India. So this is pretty cool. Last week, I think we talked about, or maybe the week before, we talked about the discovery of a new species of anaconda, which is like the largest on planet Earth currently living. For frame of reference, I think that was about 6 meters long, 20 feet-ish long. So fossil vertebrae unearthed in a mine in Western India are the remains of one of the largest snakes that ever lived. A monster, an estimated up to a 15 meters in length, longer than a T-Rex. Longer than a T-Rex. Let that sink in. Scientists have recovered 27 vertebrae from the snake, including a few still in the same position as they were when the reptile was still alive. They said that the snake, which is named Vasuki Indicus, would have looked like a large python and would not have been venomous. So yeah, pythons are usually the largest ones, and they don't really need to be venomous. Like, large snakes, I don't think really need to be venomous. I mean, when you start thinking about prehistoric times, I guess things get more complicated because everything was bigger. So maybe a big snake would need to be venomous, but a venomous, potentially, because they have to take down something larger than themselves. But usually snakes become large because the way they consume food or other animals is by wrapping themselves around them and, like, muscling them to death. Whereas other snakes just sort of, like, paralyze them and kill them. And they can be small to do that. So this was found in a mine. The fossil was found in the western state of Gujarat. I'm so bad at pronouncing names. Sorry, everyone. Considering its large size, it was a slow-moving ambush predator that would subdue its prey through constriction, like anacondas and pythons. This snake lived in a marshy swamp near the coast at the time. Global temperatures were higher than they are today. So that's kind of cool. I love it when we discover new stuff. Pretty cool. So, like, kind of interesting to find out how big things used to get and how much smaller they are today by comparison. So it's like almost double the size, more than double the size of the largest living snake on Earth. So I want to talk about dog attacks on mountain tapirs in Colombia. So researchers who captured footage of dog attacks on endangered mountain tapirs in Colombia are calling for action to protect threatened wildlife. Using camera traps, a team from Wild Campo Silvestre, the Tiger Cats Conservation Initiative, the captured images of two attacks in the, oh my, we keep getting thrown names, man. These are curveballs when I'm trying to read. In the Soil Conservation District of Santa Rosa, the Cabal period in 2 months, domestic dogs were photographed chasing and attacking mountain tapirs in a protected area in the Central Andes. These images were subsequently published in a research paper published in an open access journal. So basically, when you have dogs and they become kind of feral, they sort of act like, you know, wolves or coyotes to some extent. And they're going to, you see that with like in like North America as well, where they'll attack deer, like farm dogs. Sometimes if they're not trained properly, they'll go after like deer and stuff like that. And it almost seems like they're playing with it, but it's like too rough to be playing. And then like, I think some of those feral instincts kind of kick in, or maybe they are actually trying to eat it. Who knows? But yeah, I think sometimes maybe the feral dog problem can almost be as bad as the feral cat problem. Like the feral cats kill an insane amount of songbirds every year. Like it's like insane. Like the populations are decimated. Feral dogs, I mean, in this situation where they're attacking tapirs, like in North America, you think, oh, it attacks a deer, it's no big deal. Like there's lots of deer. But, you know, let's say you start having like critically endangered animals that are attacked by dogs. Like it paints a whole new picture of kind of the importance of why, you know, we got to keep our domestic animals domestic. What else do I have to talk about? I think that's it. That was the three things, right? Like I had the microbe X32 Wolverine and dogs attacking mountain tapirs, a fossil of the largest snake to ever exist, Earth Day, and then we get into my adventures. So I'm only 11 minutes into this Potter, and I've pretty much covered everything. What can I say? My adventures this weekend. It was a good adventure. I went with a family member, my uncle. Shout out to my uncle. Sup, fam? But we went on a hike. I guess this is kind of the second hike, but it was like it's the first real hike. Like we're going up. We're going up that elevation. And it was rough. We brought the doggo with us. My uncle's dog. Love that Zeddy Betty to death. His name's Zeta. And man, that dog can cook up a hill, man. This dog did not get tired. This dog kept going. He was darting up and down the steep incline, coming back, hip checking me, you know, nose booping me. Like it was nobody's business. He would fire up that hill. I'm trying to keep up with him. Like, man, dogs are something else, man. They got like, they're built different. They're insane. Pretty cool animal, man. Nothing like a dog. Nothing like taking a dog for a hike is like the best thing in the world. Really cool views. I went to Landslide Lake. Really cool views going up there as you gain elevation. You kind of see mountains and mountain ranges from angles and sides you never really saw before. Especially when you kind of drive through that valley, you don't really see them that way. You see them from like the base of the valley. If you want to see them, you got to see them from like their height. You got to get on their level, son. But yeah, that was pretty much it. That was Saturday. You know, I packed some good lunch. I did like the wraps. I did the shredded lettuce, the shred cheese, the shred chicken breast, and then some sweet chili sauce. And then that's it. That's lunch. It's just wraps. Just wraps on wraps and wraps and wraps and wraps. Just tons of wraps. More wraps than a mixtape, you know, just tons of them. And then what did I do? Sunday fun day. Went back out to the mountains again. Kicked it old school. Looked for some animals. I found some. Found like a bunch of them, actually. Nothing too crazy. Lots of mule deer. Maybe a couple of white tails peppered in here and there. Sometimes it's hard to tell. Lots of those big horn sheep. Love that little herd. Saw a few herds. I saw one of the herds. I think a bunch of the herds merged because there was a bunch of them just chilling. They were just chilling by the side of the road. They were like nobody's else's business. Like they were, like there was more sheep there than, I don't know, man. Like there was just a lot. And then, what did I do? I got video of wild horses. The horses were cool. I think they're a mix of like feral, because you can kind of tell by their fur and their hair, the way it's kind of like not manicured. But like, I straight up, dude, I saw one with like, it had like reins on its face, you know, still had like that thing. So I think that was just sort of like maybe one of the free range ones from like, you know, one of the places around there. And I think maybe sometimes they like marry up with some of the feral ones. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe someone was irresponsible and released the horse into the wild and just left that on or something crazy. I doubt that though. Yeah, because I think there might be like a ranch somewhere in and around there, like a little farm, and then they kind of like, you know, just let them free range a little bit. But I'm not entirely sure. I actually have no idea. I'm totally guessing, but I just thought that was kind of weird. I saw that on one group of horses. The second group of horses I saw, I didn't see that. And they look to have like a little bit longer fur where it's not like trimmed or cut or whatever. But yeah, that's it. That's my weekend. That is my Iron Bark podcast. That's the Iron Bark podcast. I don't know what to tell y'all. Earth Day. Put a little video up there on X. That was actually probably my most ever or more most highly watched video on YouTube. And I realized today that I had never posted that on X before. So, and that's of two pretty friggin' big grizzly bears. And it's only a 30-second clip, but it's Kino. It's friggin' good. I love it. It's one of my favorites because that was like, I think that was actually one of the like first times I ever really caught a video of like a grizzly bear. And it was like, they're both massive. One's like male, one's female, I think. And it was just like, it was just awesome. It was awesome to the max. Awesome to the max. It was just so awesome. So I love that video. It was always my best on YouTube. Hopefully it does better on X. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like I'm down. It seems like I'm very down in the likes and the views and the stuff on X. I think I might try doing like a video a day. This is the week. Maybe I said this last week. I feel like I've said this the past 3 weeks now. This is the week where I post one video a day. Non-stop. Still haven't got my subscriptions approved. It's been like 10 months. Some good tea. I probably shouldn't be drinking caffeine this late. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Diddly-dee. Indeed. What else did I see? Bighorns. There was lots of fawns. It's like fawning season. They're like for the mule deer. They're a little bit bigger, so it's not like super fawns, but it's like they're pretty close to being like small fawns. Yeah, I got a video of like the horses running down like the side of the highway. It's kind of cool. They're kind of just taking off down the road. Not on the road, but beside it. I don't know if I'll post that one, maybe. Maybe that'll be like one of the videos a day. Got some videos, some mule deer just poking around in the grass. The thing is with mule deer, I think like a lot of people, like, I have such a big, like, okay, I don't have a big audience, but I have like a broad audience. Like, I have like a small followership. Well, I don't know. Numbers are relative. But the people that watch it, like, some of them might not see deer all that often. And they might think that's the coolest thing ever to see a video deer. I literally see deer in my backyard, so I don't know, like, sometimes when I take a video of deer, I'm like, is this like someone taking a video of seagulls or something? Like, there's just like, it's like, oh, look at the wildlife. I don't know. I still like deer. I think they're cool. I think there's stuff to talk about them. I think I love talking about my little factoids about deer. Some deery. Anyway, I'm rambling. I'm scrambling. Now I'm signing off. Until next time, San Diego, you stay classy. I'm Ron Burgundy.